flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Karam Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday.
Sean.
Yeah, Wednesday. Good to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. Dana Brown met with the media yesterday. Ryan Presley is now a Chicago Cub, and the Astros got back a single A pitcher. More importantly, I think, to the Astros, is they got under the competitive balance tax. Here was Dana Brown yesterday on the thought process behind the trade of Ryan Presley.
As we build to compete in the present, we're also looking toward the future. And so when you get an opportunity to acquire a young arm like Juan Bello, it's just it's one of those opportunities that, you know, when you look down for starters toward the future, this guy's got a chance to be really good. He throws a lot of strikes. He can mix his pitches. There's some upside to velocity. And so as we compete in the present, we're also building for the future.
Okay. Are we 100% buying Dana Brown's rationale for the trade, that it was when you got a chance to get a Juan Bello, single-A pitcher in the Cubs organization, you don't walk, you run to go get you some Juan. I'll take his word for it on Juan Bello. Dana Brown watches these guys way more than I do. But it's a little disingenuous to not acknowledge that Ryan Presley was set to make $14 million this year to be your setup guy.
Well, I feel like, and you know, we'll hear in some of these clips, he did acknowledge that there was some discomfort. Not a fracture, but maybe an altered relationship after they brought in Josh Hader, that you demote a guy to set up after being the go-to closer.
Sure.
There was something there. Yeah. I don't know. When I heard that clip, I wasn't thinking that, man, boy, he's really just trying to whistle past the graveyard.
No.
It was what it was.
I think the main reason they got rid of Ryan Presley is because he makes $14 million. I think that's my guess. And then it wasn't mentioned. I'm not mad at Dana Brown for it or anything, but I just think it's like, boy, he went deep on the Juan Bello answer there. Like, boy, we targeted this single A pitcher, and that's the guy we had to go get right there.
Yeah, yeah. You and know. The money, obviously, the money being
the money matters.
There.
Yeah, the money matters. Well, here's what you're alluding to. This was the most interesting cut, I thought, when Dana Brown, very honest about this, I think. What was the relationship like with Ryan Presley when they went out and got Josh Hader to essentially take his job?
I think the relationship took a slightly different turn. Anytime you take a major league player out of a role where they feel comfortable, I think it's going to fracture your relationship some. I think we continue to communicate. He was a true professional, and I kept it real as a true professional myself. And so ultimately, I wouldn't say it was the same as when we first met. There was some frustration, which I would totally understand from a competitor. You're moving a guy at a position who felt like he didn't deserve to lose his job. And, you know, because you acquired, you know, another elite closer like a Hader. And so, you know, the whole purpose in doing all that was to really lock down the back end. And so I know in his heart of hearts, he wanted to close.
I'm trying to put myself in Presley's shoes on this. And as we know, closers are wired a little differently. They're hyper competitive. So I can understand Presley's frustration. I do wonder, the one thing we don't know, like, was Ryan Presley totally blindsided by the Josh Hader signing? Or were there any conversations with him going into the offseason in which they signed Hader where they said, hey, we may look for a closer. We may look for some bullpen help that's going to take some of the closer load off of your plate. That's where I'm curious, where the communication sounded like it was heavy once Hader got in the building. But I'm curious. Yeah. I'm curious if Presley, it'd be like getting your employee review, you know, like each year, and you got A's on your, you know, you got all check pluses for everything you were as an employee, and then you get fired like a month later. Like, you told me I was really good at my job.
Everything was fine.
Yeah. So that's what I'm just curious about, you know, like how unexpected was, because I think it was totally, I think the fan base got totally blindsided by Josh Hader. The Astros are in this holding pattern. They just spent a ton of money on Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero the year before, and that didn't work. And now you spend $19 million a year for 5 years on Josh Hader. Like, that was very unexpected, I think.
It's a little bit like in the NFL when, you know, the Falcons explore trading for Deshaun Watson, and that's pretty much the end of the relationship with Matt Ryan. That it's, you know, like you and I were discussing yesterday. Yeah, how do you tell your wife that you're considering polyamory? It's once you, the cat's out of the bag, that's a big one sitting out there. You know? Oh, you're not into it. Okay.
Right.
Well, we'll just move on, right?
That's right.
No, it's not that simple.
Yeah.
As you told me. And
okay, Seth asked me, okay, I have to clarify this. Seth asked me, do you think you could be polyamorous? And I said, hell no, I couldn't. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and it didn't help either. It's not like Josh Hader came in and blew the world away. There's one thing when they bring in a replacement, and it is, you say, all right, I'll try to see it from the organization's perspective. But Josh Hader came in and was not the best version of Josh Hader.
No.
I mean, the bullpen in general last year was one of the bigger letdowns on the team, on the sum total of it all. But for a lot of reasons, I wonder, with or without the luxury tax, do you think they probably would have thought, all right, we got to move on from this eventually?
Okay, that's a good question. If there were no finances involved, let's pretend there's no luxury tax and that Jim Crane operates like the Dodgers, right? Would they have gotten rid, you know, like, it's $14 million for a setup guy? Okay, cool. I think the only way you get rid of Presley is if you feel like that him being unhappy in a setup role is going to somehow poison your clubhouse. And I don't know that Ryan Presley is a, I don't know that Ryan Presley is disruptive to even close to that degree. And I think the other thing was, I felt like there was a better chance he wouldn't be going anywhere because his wife is from Houston. His kids were born in Houston. He loves Houston. He lives here.
Dallas.
Yeah. He's from Dallas. Like, I thought I wanted them to move Presley because I do know the finances factor into all this. So I wanted them to move on from Ryan Presley and trade him and get a deal done. As somebody who wanted to get a deal done, I was more nervous they wouldn't get a deal done because Presley would want to stay here and stay in Houston.
And I think, you know, and to be clear about it too, there wasn't anybody that's talked about it says that Ryan Presley was very professional about
it.
Hunter Brown had some comments that alluded, it sounded pretty much like Dana Brown's. It was uncomfortable, but he wasn't going to be a bad teammate or a cancer in the clubhouse over it or anything like that.
Yeah, you're a better team with Ryan Presley. He was not the best version of himself last year. You know, Ryan,
right.
You know, but he's, again, we're in the debate or the discussion you and I are having right now, we're putting salary aside. Like, if we're just putting salary aside, I'd rather have Ryan Presley on the Astros than Juan Bello in my minor league system.
Well, no, Juan Bello's probably not going to help you this year. And there were as Chandler Rome always puts things to where you got to do a little math in your head. Only seven teams recorded more blown save chances. So they had the eighth most blown saves. He can't say it that way.
Such a good writer. He's such a good reporter. Why does he do this?
Only six total lower WAR from the relievers. Okay, so they had the seventh lowest WAR.
Does he make his articles into a Sudoku puzzle? Why does he do this?
The bullpen, where last year people were gushing over how it was going to be, oh my gosh, the best bullpen that ever was. Now you're looking at, okay, Taylor Scott, hopefully he's fully recovered from his back injury. Does Sean Dubin or Caleb Ort end up being more of a factor this year? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of room for speculation as to how it's going to look.
Yeah, I feel good about the eighth and ninth innings. Like, I feel good about Brian Abreu. I do feel good about Josh Hader, even though his numbers were down last year. From elite Josh Hader, but I feel fine.
He was in that position where he was awesome in save situations.
Yeah,
the way Presley has been at times too in the last couple of years, we're like, okay, in save situations, you're in the high leverage situations, they're fine. It's just some of the other ones that it just don't make any sense.
Yeah,
at all.
And I don't have Hader's game log in front of me or anything like that, but it feels like if I'm just going off a feel from this year, it felt like he had a lot of saves where he came in with a 2 or 3 run lead and would give up a solo home run but still get the save. And that's why his ERA is so high for a closer. His ERA is almost 4 last year.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, the latest on Alex Bregman. Here's Dana Brown yesterday saying, we are still discussing Bregman internally.
We've talked internally about, him still being available. And so we are definitely having conversations within our front office. We haven't reached back out to Boris. At some point, it could turn to that. I know that, we're taking a deep look at what it would look like if we acquired him, and, how would it look for us financially? Does it make sense to do it? We know that he's a talented player. We'd love to have him, but I would mostly say it's all internal conversations as to what we would like to do in terms of Bregman.
Okay, so they're just discussing internally. One more from Dana Brown said he owes Scott Boris a call back.
Well, I owe Boris a call. He sent me a text today, so I'll probably end up getting back to him.
Oh, see, I like that. Dana Brown, kind of a little power play right there. Yeah, like Boris is texting me. I'll probably get back to him.
That's the thing is, there initially this was reported as the Astros reaching out to Scott Boris.
Yeah.
After this, I wonder if that was the case or if it was more that sometimes agents feed information to
reporters.
Writers. Yeah, and try to make their client look as juicy as possible. To hear it from Dana Brown talking about it, it felt like, all right, yeah, we've thought about it, and Boris gave us a call or a text, and we'll get back to him when we feel like it, but it's been all internal at this point. I don't get any sense that the Astros are trying, at least they're not trying to play it like, oh, yeah, we really got to get Alex Bregman in here.
Dana Brown in those two cuts paints a picture of a much more motivated Boris and Bregman to come to something than he does that the Astros are, standing out on the corner, showing their leg to Alex Bregman, like, yoo-hoo, Alex. Well,
and the way the agents play it, too, if he's trying to create the image of Alex Bregman being desirable, maybe Alex Bregman really doesn't want to come back, and yet Boris is like, we got to make it look like there's a lot of people interested. All right, we got to apply some pressure here.
Well, but I mean, look, Boris wants to come out of this thing selfishly looking good as well,
Like,
so he's trying to max out.
I thought about that. I was thinking about, okay, what's Boris have to prove to anybody? Except the way guys like Scott Boris get to be Scott Boris is by being always really wanting to look like the guy that's getting the job done.
With and every client, with every single one. Yeah.
He knows that the shine can come off of his star at any moment. That you don't want this to be one of those situations.
It's the same reason star players get chippy with people on social media. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah. Why would Kevin Durant care what some schmuck in Dubuque thinks about him? Like, I don't know, but he does.
Because he's insanely, insanely self-conscious about how elite he is, you know?
Yeah.
So one more from Dana Brown yesterday. This surprised me a little bit. Turns out that perhaps Alex Bregman's return isn't the only thing that could have Jose Altuve playing a little bit of left field next year.
Ultimately, I think Jose will get some reps at second and also in left. We could see what it looks like. I just think that, we're trying to create some versatility in the lineup, and that would give us some freedom and flexibility to potentially make another move. And so, we're not taking anything off the table. We're weighing all the options. We'll see what it looks like in left field, with understanding that he's going to play some second base or be at second base quite often, depending on what the coaching staff comes up with. But we're not taking anything off the table in terms of, seeing what he looks like in left field.
Okay, now I'm excited for this. Like, if they're just going to do it regardless of Bregman and experiment with him in spring training out there, let's go. I want to see Jose Altuve play left field. Super curious.
He's been doing it some out there at Daikin or Daikin? I cannot
it's
get Daikin. This in my head.
It's Daikin.
Daikin Park.
Daikin.
Daikin.
Looks like Daikin. Daikin, pronounced Daikin. Yes. Yep.
That doesn't help me at all. So Daikin Park. He's been doing it a little bit already. It makes sense for load management, and it's I think that if that's the solution to keep him from having to be as active and take as much wear and tear, just like with Biggio. I know that's the first thing people do is like, hey, Biggio did it. Like, Biggio had played in the outfield throughout his career, so it wasn't as drastic of a difference. That's I think with Altuve, he's never done anything out in the outfield. So I know people get hung up on the height. Being short hurts you in the infield as well. I don't worry about, like, the actual height factor.
There's no position in baseball where being 5'6" is ideal.
Is an idea. Right. You know? Right. Now, the difference is you make up for it with your speed and your jump on the ball and everything. Yeah. So it does his speed, or he's 35 years old, does his reduced speed hurt him more or less in the outfield than at second base? I don't know. I don't think that's as big as... I'm just more concerned about the times where his lack of arm strength is going to be an issue. I hope most of his left field come more at Minute Maid Park and in places with short left porches than some big old cornfield.
I'm more worried... Not worried about... I'm... His bat speed is the big thing that needs to stay elite with Jose Altuve. Yeah, you're not giving Jose Altuve $30 million a year to win a gold glove. You're giving him $30 million a year to have a 900 OPS. That's the big thing. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get to some headlines. Rockets win again. This was a good win last night for the Rockets. I think a kind of a sneaky good win. Latest on the Texans' search for a new offensive coordinator as well. We'll do that in headlines coming up next.